We're recording it. There we
Yeah,
go.
say goodbye, Johnny.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Brian. I'm with Israel, and we are with Don Van Stabern from Riot V. Thanks for
Yes,
joining us, Don. How you doing?
five. But yeah, we're doing all right, man. How you
All
doing,
right,
man?
five. That kind of
It's a
brings me to
Roman
the
numeral V. It's confusing.
the five stands for, this is kind of the fifth iteration of the band Riot. And this has been your most stable, the band's most stable lineup in 10 years. Do you think that's helped the band be so productive in the past 10 years?
Well, I mean, it definitely helps. Record and Mike Flint's laugh about it. We're like, can you this? We've had three records with the same lineup. Riot's, known for having a million members changes, since Rock City. It changed to Narita and it changed to Fire Down Under and it changed to Thunders, So, anyway, so we're proud of the fact that. We do have a stable lineup, and it does help. We have this bond and this like we're brothers. It's like a brotherhood. We when we write songs, we kind of know what one another wants, and good or bad. We have fights just like brothers. Like no, it should be this way. But I think it does help. We have a lineup that we're sticking with because create the creative. Typically, the whole fucking thing is, man, it's like Frank does the drums like I want him. Todd sings high like I want him to do, and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, that kind of factor helps. But, I think it's kind of cool. I think people are going like, wow, it's kind of cool that the band, has the same lineup, and the magic is still there, so far. So not getting any younger. So I kind of keep it going.
We all aren't. By the way,
Know.
did you mention that? Happy belated birthday. Hopefully it was a good one.
Thanks, man. 61. I still can't believe it. I'm like, how the hell am I 61 still
Hey.
doing Riot? What the hell is going on here? But it's passion. I mean, I joined the band in latter 84, and me and Mark were bros, and I continue on for the legacy and the passion of the music. We don't make $1 million. We're not like a Metallica or anything, but we do it for the fans and just a passion to keeping Mark's legacy alive and stuff like that. So it's cool, man.
So it brings us to the new album coming out April 12th on Atomic Fire Records. It's called Mean Streets. From what we've heard so far, because we got a sneak peek at it a few days ago, and it sounds fantastic.
Thank you.
It's for me at least, it kind of feels like a throwback to the old school heavy metal days, kind of like the 80s ways.
Right.
Was this done consciously by you guys to kind of go back that way, or because the one previous that Armor Light gave off a little more of a power metal feel, at least on my end. So was that done consciously, or was this something that kind of just naturally occurred?
No, you're right. We wanted to change it up because, we continue on kind of, the fifth chapter, fifth vocalist. But when I continued the band on, I was, one of the original members of Thundersteel. So that's kind of where this band goes because when we reformed the Thundersteel lineup on Immortal Soul, we had that record. We did some shows and then Mark passed away. I said, well, I need to do, my legacy forward. So we continue on in the power metal. When we did Unleash the Fire, it had a little bit of everything, but it was still riffed out power metal. But when we did You're Right, when we did Armor of Light, we got signed to Nuclear Blast, so we were really going for it, some aggressive music, so I was writing some real crazy stuff. But on this one, we switched. Atomic Fire is a offshoot of Nuclear Blast. Marcus and the whole gang moved over there with the Raining Phoenix people and all that stuff. So, it was cool. And I thought the same thing you were thinking. I was like, you know what? I want to go back. I want to do like when I used to write stuff on Thundersteel. It was aggressive, but not crazy. And even write a few songs like from Fire Down Under or Narita. So, the opener, I wrote Hell to the Warriors is kind of, a Thundersteel type-ish, but I always write to, a chant, because we call our fans and friends warriors, so hell to you warriors. And I wrote that with a little more aggressive, but then right into the next song I wrote, Feel the Fire, it's just like wow, this is like a rock song. You know, it sounds like Grinder meets Led Zeppelin. And that's kind of how I wanted it, you know, because, you know, I'm an old Priest fan. And I said, you know, let me do a breakdown, like a Zeppelin part and this and that. And then Todd sang the vocals like that, you know. So I was kind of like, you know, it's kind of cool that we have different elements of styles, you know. I even wrote a song that's like an overdrive from Rock City. Lean into it, real commercial song like a Marianne from Thundersteel, you know. So I'm trying to do those elements and bring in maybe, you know, even more fans, and you know, and kind of get some of the older fans, you know, where we're not just so aggressive. Some of the older fans are like, you know, we want some rock stuff. So we kind of had that in mind. So, you know, I wrote a couple rockers, a couple power metal ones, you know, and Mike wrote 10. Rainbowish guitar, heavy oriented, and stuff like that. So the variety of the songs on there, I think, came out pretty good. So, you know, hopefully everybody digs it, you know.
Yeah, I kind of have a question about the band's popularity in Japan. The band seems pretty popular there. You've had some exclusive Japanese releases and recently a Japanese live album. What do you kind of attribute to the band's popularity there?
Crazy, man. Everybody's big in Japan, but I mean, Riot, for some reason, you know, that's just a great market for us. It's, you know, it's we go over there and we're like Judas Priest for, you know, a week. You know, we're playing the biggest places, sold out by ourselves, you know, headlining. So it's always been cool. I think because the relationship we've had, we went over there for the first time in 1989 at Thundersteel, when I was there with me and Bobby Jarzombek, Tony Moore, Mark, and at that time Mike was a fill-in. We needed a guy to fill up, play some of the old stuff before we officially hired him and stuff like that. But what was crazy about the first visit was they had five records before Thundersteel, you know, the early stuff with Guy and Rhett, but the representation was us going over there. So we had to play a little bit of everything, and we had already turned into that power metal thing. But the fans were just like, I mean, they're crazy. I mean, they love the band, you know, they dig the whole Seal character. They can relate to our little dorky Seal guy, you know, but you know, they dig it, you know. And so the first time we went over there, we knew something was special because I remember this. We tell this story sometimes when we pull up, you know, they picked us up in the limousine, which was the first sign. We're like, what the hell? So, you know, and then all of a sudden we get there and there's, you know, a couple hundred people outside, kimonos and different things. And we're like, wow, it's a wedding. They're having a Japanese wedding at our hotel. And the guy opens the door and goes, stay put. This is all for you. We're like, huh? So, yeah. So they had a security guy walk us to the hotel and they were all Riot fans. So then we were like, wow. So that was our first. This is going to be great. And then we played these huge halls, and Mr. Udo booked us, the guy that was booking like Michael Jackson and like huge bands. You know, he booked Riot. We were like, what's going on here? You know, so that's where it started. And then ever since then, it's just always been like a great relationship, you know. And every time we get, even to this date, when we go over there, we play, you know, it's packed places. We'll play the same place 2 nights in a row because it's sold out. So they've just always been in back of us. And the fans are very passionate about this, and Mark, you know, when he passed away and stuff like that. But you know, it's just one of those markets, man. You know, we have a few of them. You know, Greece is the same way, and a few German markets, you know, that treat the band, you know, really, really cool. So it's awesome to go over there. We're going back over there in July.
Cool.
We're doing, I think it's around the 19th in the summertime, we're doing that. And like you're talking about Japan, they always do something special. Their release is a little bit different. They always want to add something or have something other than the release that Atomic Fire's doing and stuff. So they have a bonus they're going to do live, like you were saying, they release live. We played that Metal Weekend with Loudness, where we jumped on stage with them and they jumped on stage with us. So they're going to add a couple live tracks and some footage, and then they're doing some really classic stuff. I gave them some masters of when we did the original Sign of the Crimson Storm that I wrote years ago when I first joined, and it's with Sandy on drums and Rhett Foerster singing it. So that's a real collector. And then we have Killer, which was on Privilege of Power. It was a duet with Jolin Turner and Tony Moore. Well, the way they did the duet, Tony sang it by himself, Joe sung it by himself, and they just picked and switch parts, we're going to release just Joe Lynn Turner singing it. So I thought that was kind of neat, you know. So it's going to be a special release in Japan. But, you know, Atomic Fire is still doing the vinyl with cards and splatter and stuff like that. So, you know, they got that kind of stuff going for them too. So
Cool.
you're going to have to buy a couple from each place, okay?
No, for sure. I mean, why not? So speaking of touring, you guys are jumping right into it right after the release of the album. So you guys are going to Germany, Poland, Switzerland, the Netherlands, Belgium. In this day and age, some bands do not consider touring to be that such a big deal. How big is that for you guys, touring? How important is it?
Well, we figure you got to go out and promote. I mean, like even back in the day, you know, that was a part of the record company thing. They would be like, we're going to put the product out, and part of the promotion is playing. You know, back then there was more tour support, you know. Back in the Thunderstill days, they gave us tour support. Nowadays you don't really get it. So you know, you do merch and just different things and make better money. But we think it's important. You know, we don't tour like we used to. You know, there's the market is still a little bit weird since the lockdown. I mean, that's part of the reason why it took us forever to get a record out. Besides that, you know, there were bands releasing during it, and we're like, no, I'm going to be able to physically go in and maybe buy it. The record stores that are still there, and then follow up with a tour. And you know, back then you couldn't play because everybody had different rules to get in the country. So now that it's kind of clearing up a little bit, we're able to get out. So what we wanted to do, we said, okay, let's release it and let's, you know, do some dates. So the first thing we're doing is the one you were talking about. We're gonna release it, then we start in Warsaw, Poland, and we do, you know, whole full tour there, and then we come back and we're going to do some US stuff. They're booking some stuff right now in
Nice.
the States, and there's yeah, it's going to be cool. We're doing a whole West Coast run, and then we're going to
Wow.
do the Midwest, Texas, New York area and stuff, and then we go to Japan, and then we do South America in September, and we're supposed to do some dates again overseas with Accept and Raven. So we'll see how that all works out. There'll be stuff that's being booked in the States right now, but a little bit at a time. There's a few things, like there's even a Queensryche thing mentioned for the States, but it hasn't been 100%. But they contacted us and said, hey, there's a Queensryche Armored Saint going out. They're talking about adding one more band for at least, you know, 2, 3 weeks of it. And we said, well, let us know, you know, so that wouldn't be cool. So, but touring is important, you know, you get to meet the fans and the people that, you know, enjoy your music, buy your records. You know, you can do a shot of tequila with them or take a picture with them and all that. You know, we like doing that with the fans, and we don't like doing the charge meet and greets. It's like, I'm not going to charge you. You just bought a ticket. You bought my album. Why am I going to charge you? It's like, dude, get over here and do a shot with me.
That's really cool, Don. Todd Michael Hall has been in the band for 10 years now, and he's such a powerful singer. I'm just wondering, did you do like tryouts to find him, or how'd you end up getting him in the band?
When we decided to continue on after Mark passed away, it was still Bobby Jarzombek and Tony Moore, you know. But then Bobby was busy with you know, he plays with a million bands, Fates Warning, Halford, Sebastian Bach. Now he's playing with George Strait. What the hell? The biggest guy in
Wow.
country music. But anyway, he couldn't continue. And then Tony Moore was just, you know, calling it a day because he was older, a little bit older, and his chops weren't there. So when I decided to keep it going, you know, we wanted to move forward the right way. We don't want to do like how a lot of bands just use the brand, you know, and people say, that's not Riot. You know, it's like, dude, this is my era. I was original member of Thunderstill, and that's what I'm doing. I'm not relying on your past. We're going forward with the Mark Five. That's why I call it the Chapter Five. That's where the V came from. But anyway, so when I decided to continue on, contractually we still had a deal, so I had to, you know, tell them, you know, and they go, well, Mark's gone, but we're still into it. Mike, you know, was real skeptical, so I ended up writing demos. So I wrote all these demos that ended up on Unleash the Fire, and I said, well, you know, after a year, let me start. I started writing again, and I had to put a band together again. So I wanted to get someone like Tony Moore and someone like Guy Speranza. I wanted a higher voice because I'm representing that vibe of Immortal Soul and Thundersteel. So we had auditions. We had a few people sing. We gave them demos of the new songs. We even gave them demos of, I have some masters of Fire Down Under, stuff like Swords Without a Vocal on it and stuff. And so we had a few people, and the first guy we started working with, which was strange, and I got demos, I'll release them one day maybe, Tony Harnell from TNT. He was, it's because Bruno, the guy that produced a few records for us and the last record, was friends with him because they were doing Westworld with Mark and all that and stuff like that. So he got us together. So we started working with Tony, and we had ideas and stuff like that. I told him I was a big fan of TNT. And so I was like, we wrote stuff, but it was kind of strange. He was wanting to go in a God, almost like a Pearl Jam, that kind of direction, kind of, you know, that kind of, it was grungy but rock. And I was like, ah, man, that's not Riot, you know. And he was a guy, you know, that like thought the brand, yeah, the brand, you know, blah 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 blah. And he's a great guy, great singer. And we recorded some stuff, but we ended up saying, yeah, it's probably not gonna work out. This is, you know, we don't want to do it that way, even though he would have been iconic. We had him. We reached out to, believe it or not, Joey Belladonna, and he was a big Riot fan. And it's when he was out of Anthrax for a bit, and he said, "That's nice, but you know, I don't know if I have time for it." And then Sean from Cage. We had a lot of cats, you know, really wanting to do it because they were big fans. And then we just felt like there was a couple cats that people told us about. And I found Todd, which was strange. One of the guys that books the bands and helps out, this guy, Bart Gabriel, he lives in Germany. And he goes, I think he lives in Poland. He goes, I know a guy. And he goes, she sounds great, looks great, sounds great. And I said, dude, that's too far, you know, because there are a lot of good singers in Europe, but we were just thinking about flying back and forth. You can do it, you know, but we would rather have a guy stateside. He goes, no, he lives in the States, played with Jack Starr. He lives in Detroit area, Michigan and stuff. Todd Michael Hall. And I said, all right. So we studied the two guys we were with, and I looked at, you know, videos of Todd with Jack Starr and stuff, you know, and his voice was great, you know, not just in the studio, but I looked at live videos. He could project that live. And so, and then, you know, he looked great, like a Hercules. I said, well, doesn't hurt to have a guy that, you know, is decent looking or whatever. So anyway, you know, I put his voice on the demo. And then I gave it to the record label and said, this is incredible. Wow, you found a great singer. This music's incredible. So that's when we started moving forward. I told Mike, listen to this guy, Todd Michael Hall. Mike goes, oh my God, he's great. And so that one thing led to another, started building all that, you know, and then we started adding members. Bobby couldn't do it. We reached out to Frankie Gilchrist from Virgin Steel and Liege Lord. He played on one Riot record and he fits in. And then we got Little Nick, Mike Stutton. So we got kind of a unit that, when we recorded that stuff for real, not the demos, it was like magic. We're like, wow, you know, this sounds really, really cool. So, you know, that's basically how we did it and how I got Todd, you know, from a Polish dude telling me he's in Detroit. So that's where we're at. And then 3 records later, the same lineup. It's a record for Riot. So, you know, it's pretty cool.
It's killer, man. It's killer. I think you guys are hitting your stride right at the right moment, which is amazing. And we're both big fans from the older days. But now looking at this now, it feels so good to see a band that's been around for so long kind of hit its real stride and still releasing quality stuff. Was there ever any hesitation on continuing the band after Mark passed away? Or was this something that you were 100%, hey, I gotta go, I gotta keep doing this?
Well, I had a lot of history with Mark, you know. He was like one of my best friends, you know. Like I said, I was with him 10 years before, you know, I joined Riot. I was in the Texas Slayer before LA Slayer, that band I was in a long time ago. And Mark would come to Texas, and we met him through a mutual friend. So before I actually, you know, did any, you know, with Riot stuff, he would come on stage. We'd play Swords and Slayer and stuff like that. And anyway, we became friends, and I'm went up and I stayed with him in Brooklyn, and he'd stayed in Texas. He lived in Texas. So we had a relationship. Like I was a big fan of his, and we hung out and we did crazy stuff. And, you know, I just, you know, I was like, the guy's cool. One of my favorite bands, you know, so that was cool, leading to, you know, wanting to continue the legacy after he passed away. But I mean, that kind of struck us, you know, it was just like, we couldn't believe that he passed away because, you know, after we did, Immortal Soul, he was in bad health. Mike Flint played a lot of the guitars on Immortal Soul because Mark was in the hospital a lot. And I was taking him there. But he, after I lived with him for 10 years, I ended up, I was there when they were picking Rhett Forrester. I got to meet Guy. I wrote four songs with him on Born in America. And then that's when they gave me the call after they came back. And I got to join the band in like 80, 84, 5-ish. And then I actually recorded, played with him in 86 with Sandy and Rhett. So, it just built up this thing where I just kept, I loved the band so much, all the eras, and I left in the DeMeo era. Then we came back with the Thunderstill, Immortal Soul, the lineup, and kept going. But after Immortal Soul, Mark, he was still staying with me. He moved to Texas. This is where he's buried. He's from New York, but he loved living there. He was living with me when he passed away, but we were on a ship. We were playing at 70,000 tons of metal, and we got a long distance call that he passed away, and we're just like gutted. We're on a ship. I mean, there was four guys crying in a room. It was crazy. So, at that point, we played the show. Hammerfall jumped on stage. Joe King did, and we did all these tributes to Mark and stuff. And so when we got back, we were just like, it's done. And Mike, Mike was real close to Mark too. I knew Mark earlier and he was living with me, but during the DeMeo era, when I left for a while, he was real close to Mark. So he was like, that's it, dude. We're done. Maybe we'll do some, just do some of our own stuff or make a tribute thing or something. And so, that's basically how it ended. And then, like I was telling you, I just took a while, but I just started writing demos. And we said, well, you know what? Let's release a record and let's play some shows and see the response. You're going to get people like, you can't continue without Mark, and obviously, I understand where they're coming from. But, like I said, when I put Todd on there, the label loved it. And then we did some shows, we did festivals, we did some Keep It Trues and Metal Assault. We came out with a whole new lineup and played old and new, and the crowd went, crazy. So I was like, wow. There is life, in the band. So Mike kind of, came aboard a little more, said, okay, I can dig it. And this is for Mark. That's why in the very beginning, we would bring Mark's guitar case on stage. We would, do a tribute to him because, and I still do it to this day. If you see me go on stage, I bring out my tequila. I cheers him to the sky, put a little bit on the stage and do a chug and set him on the thing, because this is his legacy that we continue on. So it was tough, but, his dad, Tony, he wanted us to. He said, don't bury the music with my son. Continue, And so the family's blessing, and even Mark, I would play him music from Immortal Soul that he wasn't a part of because he was in the hospital. He would go, that is great. Keep moving forward. So because, he said that and his family, we're like, let's go, man, And so we continue on. And, if as long as people like the music and come see us play, it's cool. That's why we do it.
Absolutely. Don, I know you got this album coming out April 12th called Mean Streets. And you got some festival and then possibly a US tour. Do you have any other plans for the rest of the year for the band?
Well, I mean, that's the main thing. I mean, we want to get out and play as much as possible. Everybody has, commitments, another thing, family, and everybody's got jobs. Todd owns a big corporation. Mike has a guitar school. There's certain things, so we kind of have to weave things. But the main thing is, to get out and play because, you want to promote the record, but we like to get out and play. We get to hang out with each other. We get to meet the fans and stuff like that. We like to travel. Sometimes, if the money's not so good when you're in Italy and you're eating Italian food and the culture, and we're going to the Coliseum, and when you're in Spain, you're having there's paella and fine ass Spaniard women and the crowd's crazy and we go see different things. I mean, all these little things when the money's not there, it's great to go out and play. So basically we want to just, we want to play as much as we can. We intertwine our family life and then we do it. But we're excited for this record to come out. It was supposed to come out on February 16th, and there were a lot of hype and push. And then when they said, we're moving it back, we were kind of like, we got limp. I'm like, dude, come on, man, we're fucking, And then so Finally, they got on the page with Japan and they moved it back. So the anticipation is a little more. So we really want to, we know the response has been good because of the High Noon lyric video and then the video with Fill the Fire. So the response has been pretty good. So hopefully it leads up to when the record actually does drop that everybody will like, you know, a lot of the tunes off that. So we're just looking for a successful record and we want to play as much as we can. And there's a few things that are solid. Like I said, Japan, South America, some accept dates, you know, the other Queensryche and a few other stuff, you know, that's just being worked on. But we are booking, there's like whiskey, there's, you know, that kind of, you know, that coast over there and stuff like that, you know where it's at.
Cool.
You guys
Yeah.
know
We're close
where
by.
that's at.
So,
It's close by.
yeah,
And maybe
and
San Diego, who knows?
yeah,
What's a
hey,
big
that'd be great.
big
That would
one
be
run that brick
awesome.
by brick?
Yep, brick
I
by brick,
try to
yeah.
get us there all the time, and I can never get us there. Weird. Yeah, I know. I
Well,
always try.
we'll pull some
It's
strings. We
weird.
know the owners, so maybe we can do it.
Yeah, you tell them bring Riot, damn
Yeah, damn it.
it.
So the last time I saw you guys played in Tijuana, and that was part of the festival that I run down there. And
Yeah, I
you
remember
seem
you.
to be like the guy who just lives to be on stage. So that whole Swords of Tequila thing is not just a song. He actually had a tequila bottle, and he was actually sharing it with the crowd, and it was fucking
Oh
awesome.
yeah. Oh yeah.
So I can see that, you know, that being live, playing live for you is a big part of what Riot is for you. How hard is it to coordinate recording when all the members live in different parts of the states?
Well, yeah, it's a lot different now with technology. I mean, you know, when back in the day when we did Thunderstill and all that, we were in a studio in New York and you were playing with everybody and writing and stuff like that. We do get together sometimes, but with modern technology, I Zoom like I'm doing with you guys, Mike and other people, and we'll, you know, do riffs. But when I record music, I always demo it fully before I send it to the guys. I do a drum machine of all the drums. I play the bass. I'm a guitar player too, so I play all the guitars and I do dual leads. Not a great singer, you know, but I'll humble the, you know, mumble the melody lines to Todd. And, you know, once they all get them, you know, they do all their stuff to, you know, all that stuff like that, you know, their magic and stuff. But, you know, I have a studio here. This is where I record the bass. Todd's got a studio in his house. Mike's got a studio in his house. We all have studios in our houses, but we'll do sometimes we'll take the drums, like Frankie's drums, we'll take them to a real studio because those are a little bit more intricate in parts and stuff like we did on the last record. But Mike did all the parts in his place. I did my parts here. So we basically use, you know, technology and the internet. You know, I'll be like, we'll sit here and talk and we'll go over riffs and what are you playing there? Because we play fast stuff. And then, you know, I'll say, hey, Mike, take that part out. He'll be like, all right. And they'd be like, hey, double this part, you know. And so we kind of do it like that. So it's, you know, even Bruno Ravel that produced the record, he'll be on Zoom too, and he'll tell us, hey guys, I'm thinking about doing this, and I'm gonna add more vocals to Todd on Fill the Fire, and hey, I'm gonna cut a verse out. What do y'all think? And we go back and forth, and we, you know, when we hear all this stuff, we go, yeah, that's good. So we do it kind of like that, you know. We'll do it like when we send files to Bruno, he'll mix it, send it back, and we critique everything, you know. And we go back and forth with Todd with the melodies. You know, because I write all the lyrics to my songs too, but Mike doesn't write lyrics, so Todd does that. So me and Todd go back and forth with lyrics and stuff like that. So it's just all done through this technology and the way we do it right now. And but we do get together, you know, before we go on the road and stuff like that. We go to New York and we rehearse the new songs and we do business up there and all that, and then we fly out. But I'm in Texas right now, so we're, you know, in three different places, you know, Michigan, New York, and Texas. So, but that's how we've been doing it, you know. Technology, man, just record right here. I record, you know, Mean Streets in my underwear.
Perfect.
I'm in my chonies right now. No, just kidding.
Perfect.
But that's how we do it, you know. I mean, we do it like that, technology, you know, and we have a good time with it. We go back and forth. We have meetings, Zoom like this and stuff, and It's like you were mentioning, Riot has just been a passion for me for years. And we are the tequila band because Swords and Tequila, they mentioned Tequila and Outlaw, Johnny's Back, Tequila, Black Leather and Glittering Steel. We just have that kind of tequila vibe. And besides, I am a fan of tequila. It's my favorite drink. And I drink Jose Cuervo all the time. People are like, what do you drink that for? I'm like, it's gasoline. I love it. It's my vaccine. That's why I don't look 61. Okay. No, but anyway, so that was one of my things, and it's in our hospitality rider when we play live, and they know, and even on the rider, it's, well, you probably saw it, and when it said, it's got the food and it's got a bottle of tequila and it says for Swords and Tequila and it's got, all that stuff. But what I do is, like I said, and there's some memes of me, I really do associate it with Mark. So I walk out, I cheers the crowd. You see me. I cheers the heavens to Mark and Rhett and all the fallen members, and I do a sip and I do a little bit, one for my homies on the stage, and set it down. So it's kind of fun.
Works.
Really cool. Don, that's about all we have at the moment. And just want to let you know we really appreciate your time.
Oh yeah,
And
thank
best
you
of luck
guys.
on the album. It's fantastic. We've listened to it the last 2 days.
Yeah, all
It's
right. I hope
phenomenal.
you guys like it, man.
Oh, it's great. The album is
What's your
called Mean
favorite
Streets.
song? High
So far, I think High Noon for me.
Noon and Mean Streets,
Yeah.
the title track I
Yeah,
like a
Hind.
lot too. Cool.
Oh, cool, man.
Album's
Well, they're
called
my
Mean
songs, of
Streets.
course.
Perfect. It's out on April 12th on Atomic Fire Records. They're picking up a lot of great bands and definitely pick it up. Riot B or Riot 5, actually. For Brian Israel, that was Don. We'll see you guys next time.
Thank you, Don.
Thanks, Don.
All right, thank you. Rock and roll. Shine on. Cheers.
Yeah.